program.
Problems, problems, problems all day long. Will my problems work out right or wrong? My baby don't like anything I do. My teacher seems to feel the same way too.
Good morning, Fairbanks. You're listening to KFAR Radio. We're at 660 on the AM dial, 97.5 on the FM dial, and we live stream at KFARradio.com. This is Problem Corner. I'm your host, David Pruse. If you want to call into today's show, we're at 907-458-TALK, 907-458-8255. And with that, it's a Friday. It's going to be 50 above today. We're happy with that sort of stuff after what we've been through. And we have two people in here that expound upon Fairbanks' great assets. We have Scott McCray. How you doing, sir, with Explore Fairbanks?
I'm wonderful. I'm enjoying these about-to-be 50-degree temperatures for certain.
I know. And Aylin?
Yes, Aylin Alleygood.
I know. Fairbanks, I've been having issues with her name all morning, and so it says, hey, A.
That's right. I answer to that.
So now, Aylin, you're here with the University of Alaska.
I am. I am the development officer at the UA Museum of the North on campus. And we are, of course, now not only the
planetarium.
Museum. That's right. Not only the museum, we're the Walt and Marita Babula Planetarium.
When does that open for official business and, you know, shows?
Yeah, we're so excited. So tomorrow, Saturday, April 25, is our grand opening. And then we open for regular shows starting the very next day, Sunday, April 26th. So the wait is over.
Now, Fairbanks, I was offered an opportunity. I jumped at it. I went up there with Rod Boyce of the university and sat for about 20 minutes of the different presentations. I got to tell you, I was awestruck. I mean, I was just like, wow. As I told Aylin earlier, if I would have had stuff like this when I was in elementary school, junior high, I would have liked science.
Yes.
I would have liked science.
Yes.
But I'm past that now. Scott, are you looking at bringing people up there or tours or how are you blending this in?
No. I mean, absolutely. I mean, we in the tourism industry, we have been craving a planetarium here in Fairbanks for, I think, probably 30 years now. As part of, you know, we are known as a world-class aurora destination.
Yeah.
So, like, a planetarium is a great component to that because we can now, because when people come here to see the Northern Lights, we say it's never guaranteed. But now we can say, you know what, you go up to the planetarium at the UA Museum of the North, it is guaranteed Northern Lights with the amazing show that they do there. Yeah,
I said something similar to Rod Boyce as we were walking away. I said, you know, now all my friends who come up in June and July who want to see the Aurora Borealis, I'll just bring them up here.
But that's a great part to
yeah.
it. So the visitors who are in the summertime, they go there and they see the Northern Lights. You
mm-hmm.
know, we can get messages there and say, okay, you like seeing the Northern Lights inside the planetarium. Come back in a few months and see them in the actual northern skies here
this,
in Fairbanks.
This is your appetizer.
Yes.
Now yeah. come back for the entree.
Yeah. And it's a delicious appetizer.
So, Aylin, tell us about the formation of this planetarium. I know you're at the museum too.
Yes.
But we all know about the museum.
Yes.
This planetarium, let's concentrate on that a little bit.
You got it.
How did this come about?
So 20 plus years ago, the museum underwent a giant expansion.
And Dallas still had not won a football championship
okay.
20 years ago. So if you would have talked about 30, we would have been close, but go ahead.
So put it into perspective, right. So we did a big museum expansion, you know, of the entire building and doubled the space. On the original plans, there was a spot for a planetarium. But, you know, we had to make budget cuts and, you know, or budget decisions, that sort of thing. And so those plans were laid aside. But it's been even longer than 20 years ago to it's been a dream of many people on campus to have a planetarium.
Ready for a phone call?
I'm ready.
We lost it. They didn't hang on long. So when was this final plan put in place?
Right. So that was a tucked away dream. And then we have incredible donors, Walt and Marita Babula.
The name's on the door.
That's right. And as well, it should be.
And because, thank you. I mean, man.
Yes, incredible. What a gift to our community. Yeah. What a legacy. I mean, the legacy, you talk about inspiring kids, space science, visitors from around the world. They're making a lasting impact with this facility. So they came to us and said, let's do something big, and we were in. It's been their vision to build a planetarium for Fairbanks, and they've realized their dream. It's incredibly special to be a part of it. Thank you to Walt and Marita and everybody who pitched in to make this come true. It's been quite the lift.
So Scott, are the tour companies starting to look at bringing buses up there?
I think that's the next step there, and part of what we'll be doing Explore Fairbanks is, as we talk to tour operators when our tourism department is on their travel trade sales missions, not necessarily just the big players, but just a lot of small independent companies. We're going to be introducing the planetarium and say, here's this great new asset, year-round asset, that way I have here in Fairbanks. So as you're building your program centered here in Fairbanks, here's this great addition to work into it, to include the UA Museum of the North itself, which is just,
exceptional.
It's an exceptional
attraction. That's always been a crown jewel. Now you got double diamonds.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, literally.
Yeah, it is. It's amazing. Then, say people haven't been to the museum in a while, get up there, because there's new exhibits. There's always great things taking place there. So don't be afraid to go up on campus, go up there and check it out.
It's not like you're looking at the stars. They bring you into the middle of the Milky Way and a portion of it.
Yeah.
Yes.
I mean, and where you're at and everything around it. I mean, it was like, my God. So I'm sitting there and I'm thinking, they could show how the Polynesians use the stars to navigate the Pacific.
Absolutely.
Things like that.
And how Alaskans for thousands of years have navigated through using the stars and the northern sky and the Arctic sky. Absolutely. In fact, that's something we're working on is more shows and more learning about the northern Dene constellations and the Arctic skies. So, and the thing is, this planetarium goes way beyond space too, right? We can go. There are so many data sets. We can go under the water.
Oh, yeah.
We can go. The sky is the limit, but
you're scratching the surface.
Exactly. Yep. We do. Scott mentioned the Aurora piece, and we will have a regular show that's 7 days a week for the Aurora, and that's going to be probably our flagship, probably the show that is most requested. Is the Aurora show. So we can't wait.
Oh, I wouldn't have thought anything else.
That's right. Yeah, we're very excited for that show.
Fairbanks, we're going to take a commercial break. You're listening to KFER Radio. I have Aylin.
Alligood.
Alligood. God almighty. And Scott McCray.
Got that one easy.
And we're at 907-458-TALK, 907-458-8255. We'll be back after these messages.
More Problem Corner is coming up on KFAR 97.5 FM, 660 AM, and streaming live at kfarradio.com.
The Fairbanks Children's Museum, providing a rich environment that stimulates children's natural curiosity and creativity, with trained educators developing play-based learning programs and experiences for kids to explore multi-sensory, hands-on, active, and child-centered activities. The Fairbanks Children's Museum, committed to being a valuable and accessible resource for all families in the interior, inspiring and connecting families through discovery and the power of play. For more information, go to fairbankschildrensmuseum.com.
Honda announces factory rebates on all remaining stock snowblowers up to $500 off tracked electric start models through May 1st. While supplies last, get your brand new snowblower. Prices so low, they melt away the competition. Standard 3-year warranty, smooth control, effortless engineering. The advantage of buying from the Woodway is your unit comes ready for you, serviced. And if you need anything maintenance, we take care of you through the life of your snowblower. Buying snowblowers in April is the Alaskan way, the right way, the Woodway.
Weather brought to you by Great Harvest Bread Company. Biscuits, bagels, and sandwiches so good you need them. Skip the snooze. Your breakfast is waiting for you at Great Harvest at the corner of Airport Way and Wilbur.
KFAR Weather.
Cloudy skies with a few peaks of sun today, with daytime highs approaching 50. Winds out of the south, 5 to 10 miles per hour. Lows level off around 34. Tonight, overcast skies. 51 tomorrow, overcast skies. High temperatures reach up to 52 Sunday under mainly sunny skies. 54 Monday. And that's your weather on KFAR 660 AM and 97.5 FM. I'm meteorologist Paul Trombley.
And now, more Problem Corner on KFAR Radio, 97.5 FM, 660 AM, and streaming live at KFARradio.com.
Fairbanks, welcome back. I have...
Aylin Alligood.
You'll made on the show.
And Scott McRae. And Scott McRae. You know, it's the purple padded studio that this takes things out of me. And right now I'm fighting with my North Korean equipment because my headphones are going on and off. So, but I can get through this. I can get through this. Now, Scott, you're coming into your summer season, so to speak.
Yes, sir.
When does Princess and Hall in America start doing their trips or their May 15th?
Yeah, it's about mid-May. The the Inside Passage cruises in Southeast Alaska, they've actually already started. Ketchikan had its first cruise ship back like last Friday. So the cruise season, the Inside Passage cruise season has really been starting, earlier in April and going later in October. The Cross Gulf Alaska cruises that come from Vancouver and go to Whittier or Seward that have the land tour component that Fairbanks is part of, those typically start around mid-May because of weather within interior Alaska, and Denali is a big part. So, yeah, starting mid-May, we should start seeing the coaches there, not just Holland America Princess, but Premier Alaska Tours, who does the Royal Caribbean, the Norwegian, and all the other ones. So numbers are sounding pretty good. Princess has a new Cross Gulf Alaska ship, so there's more capacity this year. So now we're just waiting to see how that translates into actual, people on the ground here in interior Alaska.
How many, not including all the Airbnbs and Airbnb breakfasts and things like that, how many hotel rooms are there approximately in Fairbanks that you would say that you would recommend? Some you might not recommend.
We have about, for the hotels in Fairbanks, about 2,700
One boat rooms. Full of people.
About, and that's summer because some of them, the summertime, everyone's open up. Wintertime, Princess is down, River's Edge is down. But, there's plenty of capacity for whatever growth we see, not just with the hotels, but, the short-term rental market has been growing
pretty
big here in Fairbanks, too. So there's plenty of room at the inn for however many people we get coming this summer.
Any new hotels online? I heard that there was going to be one over, near the box store area.
There is, there's the what used to be the extended stay hotel over by West Fred Meyer.
Yeah.
That's going to become an Aspen property now.
Oh, okay.
And they're going to open the doors there come early May. And then, of course, over at Pike's Landing, not a new hotel, but always, Jay's always got lots of new renovations and additions going on.
He doesn't stop.
No, he doesn't.
Yeah. And then I was over there, I think it was the Aspen over there the other day. I was over, of course, at the Ace Hardware store buying barbecue stuff.
Yeah.
And it looked like they're doing, Alyeska Builders was in there doing a remodel.
Yeah, that's going to be the Aspen Hotel there, hotel behind there, the extended stay.
So no matter what, we're getting upgrades on hotels anyway.
Yep. Most definitely.
Okay. Now, Allie, I'm just going to call you Allie.
That works.
You are a fundraiser for the University of Alaska.
Yes.
Highlighting the museum and now the planetarium.
That's right.
So without sucking up to you too much, I'm not going to get a request for a boatload of money, am I?
Well, you may be surprised.
What sort of, do you have a structured program?
We do. So, so I am. I'm at the UA Museum of the North. We've got a great development team across the University of Alaska and UAF, but my focus is the museum. Mm-hmm. So I work at the museum with the museum to raise funds for exhibits, special exhibits, exhibit maintenance, to raise funds for our incredible education programs.
Mm-hmm.
We've just got, we do field trips, we do museum kits that go into classrooms. We have library passes, all sorts of stuff. So we have opportunities for partnership with education. And then just general funds when we have, gosh, we have incredible collections and research. So when they need projects, when they go places and do field work and all that, I fundraise for that.
You know, as I said to you earlier before we came on the air, your job is never over.
Exactly.
There's never a finish line.
Exactly. But I'm inspired every day.
Yeah.
And the reason is these are really great people doing really neat things for the community.
How does the people of Fairbanks get in touch with you to contribute, to get involved, to be a part of that those two crown jewels up there?
Sure. Thanks for asking. So calling the museum front desk, which is 474-7505.
474-0575. I can remember that, but not your name.
Perfect.
I have my priorities.
That's right. That's right. But then, you know, our museum website. So uaf.edu/museum.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. And of course, stopping in too. We'd love to see you.
God, I don't know if you're going to know this question I'm going to ask, but Tim Cerny is moving his automobile museum over to his building that used to be the Kmart building.
Right.
Do you know the schedule of events on that?
I think last I heard, they are planning on a June opening. Maybe not necessarily fully complete, but that's what he's eyeing there. And that is going to be pretty darn exciting. So it's the Antique Auto Museum combined with an aviation component, more cars, planes, the wardrobe collection. It's just going to be... It's going to be a world-class museum, just like we have a world-class planetarium.
You know, Tim Cerny is also a crown jewel for Fairbanks. He really is.
Yes.
You know, if you look at what he, you know, I like old cars, and all of a sudden, look what comes of it. And he built that auto museum over there.
Yeah.
And it's just elegant. It's tasteful. It's beautiful. I mean, and it's in Fairbanks, Alaska.
Exactly, just like the planetarium. So, yeah, it's like we're at a really exciting moment in the tourism industry with the addition of these what are going to be crown jewels, not just for our tourism industry, but for our community too. So we're at a very exciting moment in the tourism industry because those physical assets that we have to showcase to our visitors, again, year-round, it's at a, you know, it's a number where we just haven't seen before. So it's pretty awesome.
Allie, you're in trouble now.
Okay.
When was the last time you had your chocolate party up at the University of Alaska Museum?
The chocolate bash.
Yeah.
Yes, that,
come on.
No, I hear you. That was incredibly popular. That was before.
Yeah, I know.
Before I started at the museum.
That's
actually
what I'd say too if I canceled it.
Yeah. Now that was before my time at the museum. I know it was popular. It was pre-COVID. And you know, COVID changed a lot of things for us. And so, we are really doing a lot of, private event rentals and, you know, getting really special events up at the museum. Next step after we get this planetarium launched is to figure out other ways to engage the community. And you're right. We've actually been talking about something like the chocolate bash where getting the community in and, there's so much new to see there. If people haven't been there for a while, it's a great opportunity to have fun at the museum. So that is on the radar. We have got to open this planetarium first.
That is a priority.
Yes.
And and again, it's your dome is what, 33 feet across?
Yes.
I mean, so it's quite encompassing.
It is. It's 65 seats, and we call it's an immersive dome.
And there's only 65 seats, so you're not packing them in like sardines. And those chairs are – you don't get to adjust them because they're in a perfect viewing of that dome.
It's well-designed. It's state-of-the-art. It's
you
state-of-the-art.
Know, my thought would be if that wouldn't have been there, I would have been snoring.
Oh, it's a great angle for snoring, yes.
Yeah. Oh, man.
You're talking about, you know, events in the museum. I think that's something that's exciting that the planetarium adds on is very unique, special events that can be held in that space. Like
that's
when
right.
I was up there last Friday, I was, you know, talking to Omega about having a concert, a small
concert.
She
was, she was the,
yeah, like maybe
her name's
like
Omega, and she's the band leader.
Isn't this great?
Like a cover band doing Pink Floyd, Dark Side of the Moon.
Yeah.
That. I mean, there's just so much potential there above and beyond just going there
Now, Fairbanks, I'm not going to tell you to do this, but you could drop some acid, have some Grateful Dead.
Well, our planetarium director, she's amazing, and her name is Omega.
Yeah.
Omega Smith. Yeah, yeah. And she's got great ideas. ideas, great vision. We've got a great director of visitor services too, and they want to do special events like this, and you know, they're on the radar. We're going to start with these regular shows, and many special events are upcoming, including ones like different research at UAF, highlighting different research, you know, highlighting rocket launches, that sort of thing.
Yeah.
But then concerts, bringing people in for private events. It's going to be exciting.
You know, you have a great location to bring people in and, you know, show them what Fairbanks, the University of Alaska, or Alaska itself is all about. With that museum, now that planetarium there combined, you know, the car museum is a great location too.
Yes.
But you have these two locations that you can't replicate anywhere else in Alaska.
Yeah.
That's a good point. Very good point.
And they're here in Fairbanks.
They are.
Love it.
Yeah.
So, I'd be marketing that in my fundraising alley.
Oh, yes, I have. The thought is not lost on me. No,
Fairbanks, there's this poop-eating grin on her face.
Well, it's a new way to engage the community. And so people who haven't been to the museum in a while, we're going to bring in people that haven't seen the new exhibits and haven't seen the bowhead whale, the 42-foot bowhead whale.
That is big. Yeah, you're looking at that. I mean, that is as big.
It is phenomenal.
Yeah.
So, you know, I think a lot of Fairbanks hasn't seen that yet. We've got an incredible special exhibit right now on that features the UAF Native Arts Center. And it's stunning. So there's just so much to see, but the planetarium is going to bring people in.
And a lot of it is you have a rotating section.
Yes. Exactly.
So there's always something new. If you go up there every 3 to 5 months, you're going to see something new.
Yeah, that's a great point. Our special exhibits area sees new things, on a regular basis, a couple times a year. We've got some stuff on the walls that changes a lot, a special part of our main gallery that changes so that we can showcase different collections that we have.
Mm-hmm.
Because what it is it's the tip of these public spaces, it's the tip of the iceberg.
Yeah.
We've got so much in collections, and we want to showcase that limited public space. So we're trying to rotate as much as possible. But we've even got exhibit space in the planetarium lobby that we'll be using.
Right.
So.
Yeah.
Scott, me and you have a very wonderful friend, Tanya Klukas, and she's the manager of the building you're in. Any special events happening over at the Morris Thompson Center over the next couple months that we should know about?
We'll be launching here this summer, speaking of the university, a partnership we have. It's the summer for it's a science series in partnership with the Geophysical Institute. So we have different lectures from the GI coming in to give presentations 4 or 5 times throughout the summer. So that's kind of an exciting way to kind of engage the community and our visitors with the amazing research that's being done up at the Hill. And we just finished, you know, this is an event in the past, but one for people to keep their eyes on moving forward. We had a great America 250 Alaska celebration at the Morris Thompson Center, getting ready to kick off with the Gold Panners, the Week of Dreams event later this summer. A lot of great things happening in Fairbanks pertaining to the 250th birthday of America that Fairbanks is knocking out of the park compared to, no pun intended, compared to other places in Alaska.
Yeah, it, you know, I'm going to date myself, but I remember the 200th anniversary. That was Spirit of 76, you know.
Yeah.
Next thing you know, it's the 250th anniversary.
Yeah.
I don't think I'm making it to the 300th anniversary, but you never know.
You never know.
You never know. Oh, Fairbanks, we're going to take a commercial break. We have some bumper music for you. The Ace of Bass or Ace of Bass. I have no idea what that's about, and I don't care. We'll come back. And then we have some Fox News, some state news, some commercials and weather, and we will be back.
Oh,
Corner is coming up on KFAR 97.5 FM, 660 AM, and streaming live at KFARradio.com.
I'm Tom Graham. Iran's top diplomat is headed to Pakistan to discuss long-term ceasefire negotiations with the U.S. White House spokeswoman Caroline Levitt tells Fox News.
Special Envoy Witkoff and Jared Kushner will be off to Pakistan again tomorrow morning to engage in direct talks intermediated by the Pakistanis.
The White House insisting Iran must abandon its nuclear program as part of any deal. The Trump administration expanding the federal death penalty.
The Justice Department is readopting lethal injection protocols previously used during President Trump's first term and allowing federal death penalty inmates to be executed by firing squad. Federal executions were paused during the Biden administration, and former President Biden commuted the death sentences for most of the federal death row inmates before leaving office.
Fox's Jared Halpern, America's listening to Fox News.
It's time for your Alaska News Minute.
Tagger's Daily News reports the construction that began last weekend will shut down a Glen Highway bridge for more than a month, triggering slowdowns and some delays for thousands of drivers who travel daily between Mat-Su and Anchorage. The northbound span of the Peters Creek Bridge between miles 20 and 21 of the Glen Highway will close for about 45 days, while crews remove about 2 inches of concrete, reconstruct the surface, and apply a smooth overlay, state transportation officials said in an interview. The reopening is targeted for early June. More than 38,000 vehicles travel northbound through the area each day, according to state traffic data. During the work, northbound traffic will be diverted into 3 lanes on the southbound bridge span. The lanes will be reconfigured twice daily using a barrier-moving machine to allow for 2 lanes of travel in the direction with the heaviest traffic flow. The barriers will be shifted early each day before the morning commute and again around noon, officials said.
Streaming live online at KFAR660.com.
Optimize your eyes with Mountain View Eye Center, Interior Alaska's choice for state-of-the-art eye care. Find relief with the most advanced dry eye center in the interior. See clearly and be free of your reading glasses and contacts for good. Optimize your eyes with Mountain View Eye Center. Surgeons Dr. Laura Kearsley and Dr. Jason Crosscree specialize in premium cataract surgery, LASIK laser vision correction, and treatment of eye disease. All insurance accepted. Schedule your consultation. Visit MountainViewEyes.com.
And now, more Problem Corner on KFAR Radio, 97.5 FM, 660 AM, and streaming live at KFARradio.com.
Fairbanks, welcome back. I have
Aylin Alligood, UA Museum of the North.
And
Scott McCray, Explore Fairbanks.
Aylin Alligood.
You got it.
Oh, man. What is this, a self-test for me? I'm failing.
I've been planted, yeah, a good test.
You, Fairbanks, while we were during break, you know, I always come back and tell you, boy, what you don't hear during the break is interesting. So we're going to sort of go through that again. You have a new collection coming online.
We do. So Fairbanks' own Roger Burdraff and his beautiful wife, Delois, have donated their personal gold collection to the museum. And this is incredible. It's his legacy. So Roger had a nearly 50-year career of mining. And a lot of community service.
And in banking?
In banking, yeah. Yes.
A minor banker.
How about that?
He should have been here, like, you know, at the turn of the century.
Oh, yeah, with E.T. Barnett.
Yeah. Yeah. But, you know, a very proficient banker.
Yes.
Historian.
Yes.
Miner.
Yes.
And he turns over his gold collection to you as a philanthropy.
That's exactly right. So Roger has been an advocate for the museum for many years.
Yes.
He serves on what's called the Friends of the Museum, Friends of UA Museum of the North Board. And he came to us a little over 2 years ago with the idea. And so it took some doing and some organizing on his part. But Roger and Delois have officially given us their personal gold collection. It's, of course, in extremely secure safe location at the museum. Well, you guessed it, raise money for the new exhibit. But here's what's going to be so special. So when he gave us this gold, it's not just gold, it's dust, it's ore samples, there's so much there. And his goal was that future generations would know about mining, would know how it works. It doesn't just show up as, you know, gold jewelry. There's so much that goes into it. And he wants people to know that. He wants our community and visitors from around the world to know how this works. So we're going to feature his gold among other incredible gold and historical notes and things like that. And it's going to be in our Gallery of Alaska. But we've got his voice explaining different pieces.
Oh, great.
And yeah. So we've got his voice, and we're getting other voices, historians, other miners. So there's going to be firsthand audio to go along with this, and a big map with a lot of great information.
You know, that's the thing about Fairbanks. We've had, for a community of our size, we've had great philanthropy.
Yes. We do.
You absolutely.
You know, the Stroker Foundation, you know, and...
Dennis Wise.
Just things like that. You know, Ruth Barrick, you know, from the 50s, 60s, and 70s, she went to every graduating class from probably about 1935 to 1980 of the University of Alaska.
Wow.
A very, very, you know, she was a director, the first female bank director in the history of Alaska.
Wow.
And this is an incredible lady. And so Fairbanks has such a rich history of philanthropy.
Mm-hmm.
Now,
mm-hmm.
I'm going to give you one. This is your retirement goal.
Oh, boy.
Yeah. You know, I remember hearing the conversations about hockey rinks.
Yes.
Hockey in Fairbanks, and how Fairbanks and Anchorage wants a hockey stadium. So the heck with that. Fairbanks has to have a hockey stadium. So this rivalry. And in the discussion, I looked at the purse and I said, I'd get someone from the aerospace industry, like Boeing, or, you know, mm-hmm. someone that big, and get their philanthropy to have them build it and name it after them and put it in that parking lot down there.
Yes.
But then I said, now, you're going to have some fallout. He said, what's that? I go, once you pull the Nanooks out of the Carlson Center, they got to shut down the Carlson Center. So be careful. If you really want to. A hockey stadium, this is how you do it, and this is the fallout. And so I haven't heard since. So if you want to shut down the Carlson Center but get a hockey stadium.
Make a note there.
Yeah, I will. Boeing would be incredible. You know, there are some – it's tough to get to those big names.
Exactly.
It's really tough.
That's Pat Pitney, governor of the state of Alaska, Lisa Murkowski. You know, something like that.
Layers upon layers of contacts. Yeah, yeah. But, you know, when we expanded the museum in 2005, the Gates Foundation gave us $1 million.
Yeah.
So, and what was really special, I wasn't there at the time, but what was really special is, you know, the solicitation.
Was it the Bill or the Melinda?
It was the Bill and Melinda.
Okay.
Gates Foundation.
I'm being facetious.
Yes, of course. But it just came in an envelope. Just one check, $1 million, you know.
Wow, no solicitation.
Yeah. That's right. So it's pretty special to, we've got some big names, but yes, I would love to bring in some international, global, you know.
It's a small town, and you have such... what I call so many people, the same people getting requests all the time.
You're so right.
Yeah.
There is absolutely donor fatigue in Fairbanks.
Yeah.
And I thank all of the names that support all of the community events, the races, it is such a special community for that reason. But the museum is an opportunity to branch globally. We get visitors from around the world. We've been trying global names,
mm-hmm.
or even national foundations.
But you also have the right tools.
Yes.
You have to have the right tools, the right aspects to basically sell or market. You have a great university.
Yep.
And you have a fantastic planetarium and museum now.
Yes.
Plus offshoots from it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so.
This is the time to do it, you know, with the new planetarium and absolutely every day.
Yeah, so much momentum you can build off of that.
That's right.
Yeah, that is something else. Well, you know, what the heck. So, Scott, is Olivia putting together any fun, Olivia Rodriguez putting together any fun aspects in downtown Fairbanks over the summer?
That's a pivot.
Yeah, I know. She's in Japan. Might be back.
She is, yeah. No, I believe, Olivia Rodriguez, Golden Heart Consulting, she is planning, you know, last summer she had her downtown markets once a month throughout the summer. So those are, last I heard, those are online starting first one coming in May. I don't have the specific dates that doing that. And then, of course, you know, other things pertaining to downtown, of course, Downtown Association of Fairbanks with the Midnight Sun Festival happening around Solstice weekend. And then just what's happening, too, over at our favorite location, the former Polaris building site that we've been involved in over the years, what Festival Fairbanks is doing there with the Starter Block project. So this is an exciting summer to come downtown for residents and for visitors, too.
I've always looked at Julie Jones as another crown jewel.
She's amazing.
What that lady does with the minimal resources that she gets and her, I mean, and what she does personally is just remarkable.
A tireless advocate for just
remarkable.
Yeah, exactly.
And she gussies up Fairbanks.
Yep.
Man. Fairbanks, we're going to take a commercial break. You're listening to KFAR Radio. Or if you want to call in, we have
Aylin Alleygood.
Scott McRae, still.
With?
UA Museum of the North.
With?
Explore Fairbanks.
I do this because Allie Alleygood, you know. anyway, we'll be back after these messages.
More Problem Corner is coming up on KFAR 97.5 FM, 660 AM, and streaming live at kfarradio.com.
Living in Alaska is a dream come true. With plenty of stuff to do all summer long, the downside? It's loud. Boating, dirt bikes, ATVs, and sports shooting all can take a toll on your hearing. That's where Fairbanks Hearing and Balance comes in. They have a full selection of hearing protection for your lifestyle. From non-custom electronic plugs to custom molded waterproof plugs, all the way up to the full custom molded electronic masterpieces. To find out more, get a test with Dr. Jackson at the Fairbanks Hearing and Balance Center today, or find out more at fairbankshearing.com.
Get your garage back, people. Has it been years since you were able to park in your garage? Great news, Fairbanks and North Pole. Independent Rental Storage has 20 and 40-foot containers to help with all your storage needs. We have two locations, one on Cushman and our new storage yard on Chena Pump. Or we can bring the container to you. Independent Rental Storage has the space you need. Call us today, 456-6595. Independent Rental Storage. Safe, secure, affordable.
Your heating system just made it through a record cold winter, and frankly, it deserves a medal. Maybe even a vacation. But before you shut it off and forget it exists, call Cal's Heating. They've been keeping Fairbanks warm for decades. And right now, you can cash in on their spring tune-up special. Get it done by May 15th, save $50. Wait a little longer, still save $25 through June. Because ignoring your heating system all summer is a great way to meet your repair bill this fall. Don't be that person. Call Cal's Heating today and show your heater a little appreciation.
KFAR Weather.
Cloudy skies with a few peaks of sun today, with daytime highs approaching 50. Winds out of the south, 5 to 10 miles per hour. Lows level off around 34. Tonight, cloudy skies. High temperatures reach up to 51. Tomorrow, cloudy skies expected. And that's your weather on KFAR 660 AM and 97.5 FM. I'm meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki.
And now, more Problem Corner on KFAR Radio, 97.5 FM, 660 AM, and streaming live at kfarradio.com.
Fairbanks, welcome back. There is something that, there's many things that Explore Fairbanks and the University of Alaska Museum have in common, but most people don't understand. One of them is the bus. You know, because Scott, you get a lot of requests from people asking about wanting to see the bus that was out on the Stampede Trail.
Yeah.
And Allie, you are delivered the bus by the state of Alaska, yet there's no state of Alaska money that goes to maintaining, upgrading. That's something you got to go out and fundraise for.
That's right. So when the bus was removed, and when we're talking bus, for those, just a quick summary, this bus had its start as a bus transportation in Fairbanks. Mm-hmm. It was used by miners. It was hauled out to the Stampede Trail. It broke down. It was left there. It was used as a hunting cabin, you know, shelter for people. But what made this bus famous was Christopher McCandless and the story Into the Wild. So that's when we say bus. That's the bus we're referring to, is the Into the Wild bus from the Stampede Trail. It was removed by the state of Alaska for public safety reasons.
Yeah, you have people coming to Alaska, not just for the bus, but that's they're looking up the history.
Yeah. A lot of international, German market, Italy, just you know, fascinated with the Chris McCandless story. They mm-hmm. read the book, they've seen the movie, and just a desire just to see that bus was a huge draw. So having it removed from its location up here at the UA Museum of the North, from a safety perspective, that's a good thing. But also having it here in Fairbanks, again, something else we can promote that's bringing visitors here. It's pretty exciting to have it here.
It's really exciting. So we, meaning the museum, was awarded caretaking responsibilities. So it's owned by the state. Our responsibility is to get it out onto exhibit for the public and a free exhibit. So what we're working on is an outdoor exhibit in the woods, in the boreal forest behind the museum. It's a little walking path, and then the bus will be out there. And it's going to be free. So that's what we're working on.
Ready for a phone call? Good morning. You're on KFAR Radio, and your name is?
Hey, it's Craig Compo, Dave. How are you?
Good, Craig. How about yourself?
Good. Hey, just a little side note, Chris, story on that making of that movie, Into the Wild. Chris, Sean Penn, it was a Friday night. They were in Healy. This is a true story. He came into town, and he was going to have grab a couple cases of beer for his crew. You know, they had a day off or whatever. Stops at Gold Hill Liquor, grabs a couple cases of beer, realizes he doesn't have his ID. And the young counter asks for his ID and says, no, I left it. She said, I'm sorry, I can't serve you. He goes, do you know who I am?
And then what happened?
Thank God good training.
Craig, I can add to that. I was working at the university when Sean Penn and his film crew were filming some locations on campus, and I actually met him and the film crew down at the Red Fox Bar and Grill to escort them all the way up on campus. And we got there, and Sean's getting on the car, and I go over and shake his hand, and he says, "Hi, I'm Sean Penn." I said, "Well, yeah, I know who you are. Here's who I am." So it was really cool because there was a film festival taking place on campus at the same time, and it was mid-April, and Sean would be inside the UF bookstore filming. They would come outside, and he was a chain smoker. He had a cigarette out there in the plaza, and like students are on their way to this film festival, walking by and say, "That's Sean Penn." So it was pretty cool to have him here in Fairbanks.
Yeah, it was. That was a long time ago. Yeah, I had a friend. He wanted to rent a boat from me, and I was using my boat at the time. So I turned him onto a customer who had a boat, and he was able to make a few bucks down there. They hired the whole town of Healy and, you know, Coke Wallace and a bunch of other people. They all just put them on the payroll to be available to get coffee or whatever. So it's when they're making a movie, it's sometimes good for the economy, even as small as Healy. So anyway, good talking to you.
Wow.
You too. Take care, buddy.
Thanks,
bye.
Greg.
Yeah, bye.
I have a bus story. You know, that's a 1950s bus. And so Al, who listens often and texts me items when we're on the air here, he used to hunt in that area. Mm. He was a guide. Mm. And so I was looking for a place to go sheep hunt. He said the Healy River, that's where you used to, you know, go 20 years ago. So me and about 3 years ago, me and a buddy went down there, and we took four-wheelers into a specific area. Then we had the hike where there's, you know, no wheel basis, no tracks. And so we're hiking up this beautiful valley. And after about 4 hours, I look up, and about two-thirds of the way up the mountain, I mean up the mountain, is a 1950s, you know, bus on the side of the mountain. I'm going, well, I know where I'm spending the night tonight.
Yes.
And we spent the night, instead of putting the tent up on the hill, you know, on the side of a mountain, we had a nice enclosed bus that we stayed there. So it's interesting where you find buses.
Yes.
And that's my bus story. And, you know, what the heck?
I love it. Well, a lot of people stayed in that bus, and they scratched their names into the side of it, or they wrote, you know, something. And what we've done is we've preserved it. So all the graffiti, everything is as it was and will not deteriorate beyond, you know, what it did on the trail. So we have preserved it. We've stopped that aging process. So we'll be able to, people will be able to come and actually see their names.
So how did the idea of the museum getting the bus, how did that come to fruition?
Well, you know, the state wanted a place where people could come safely to see the bus, where the bus would be cared for and preserved responsibly. And it's a big undertaking. So we do not yet have the bus on exhibit. It is in storage. While we raise those funds, we will use the bus to tell many, many stories. Alaska, we've just talked about the history, right? So 20th century Alaska history of Alaska, or, you know, Alaska wilderness and knowledge. We're going to tell a bunch of stories using the bus as a platform or a springboard. So it's not just about the Into the Wild Christopher McCandless story. There are many opportunities to connect people to Alaska through this bus, yeah.
So if there are any other orthodontists in town who are listening in, this would be their opportunity to add their name, just like Walter Babula did to the planetarium.
Perfect. That is perfect, Scott. Well done. And yes, you're right. But speaking of its international appeal, we have a bit of a crowdfunding out there. And we've gotten small donations from 45 states and 32 countries for preserving the bus. So the global reach is very real. We get calls all the time.
Scott, did you ever think such outreach would come into you from the bus?
I'm not that surprised, honestly, just knowing how impactful that story is to people from around the world and just the desire people have had to go and see it. So it's great to see. And I think that shows, you know, the global appeal. You know, again, we think it's a bus, but it's so much more than that. It's the story of transportation in Fairbanks. It's the story of Chris McCandless. A lot of great assets about it, and obviously it appeals to a pretty wide audience.
Allie?
Yes.
Any unique schedule of events happening up at your structure in May, June, or July?
So we have, well, in April, meaning April 25, tomorrow, we've got the grand opening for the planetarium.
Yeah.
Yes. That is a free community event from 11 a.m. to 4 p.m. tomorrow. Again, April 25. And that will be short planetarium shows, because we want to get a lot of people in and to see shows.
Now, I'm going to interject here.
You got it.
Fairbanks, if you go up there, buy the parking pass.
So on weekends, it's free.
Yeah, but on Monday when I went up there, I found out it wasn't free. You know, there's no one in the parking lot. I come back out 30 to 25 minutes later. Oh, boy, they were waiting for me. So Fairbanks, they have parking attendants up there. If you go up there, just get the pass. Don't be a Dave. Yeah. Get the pass.
Oh, gosh, yes. So weekends, weekdays after 5 p.m. and weekends are free.
Yeah.
So that's a big one. Then, of course, the next day regular shows start. Those will go all summer. Be watching our website for special shows that we were talking about earlier at the planetarium, concerts and research talks and that sort of thing. Those will be starting to pop up here in May. And then we've got our UAF Native Art Center special exhibit that's ongoing. And, you know, we're going to get that bus out just as quickly as we can. So that'll be another really big celebration and a big milestone for us. We can't wait to get it out there.
You know, you walk into the museum and all of a sudden you look up and you see the skeletal remains outline of a 45-foot bowhead whale.
Yes.
And that sort of puts everything in perspective. You are in the University of Alaska Museum of the North.
Yes. And speaking of philanthropy, that was made possible by the Bill Stroker Foundation.
Yeah.
Getting the bowhead up was made possible by the Stroker Foundation. So thank you to those trustees and Bill's hard work over the years.
I know.
Tremendous.
Oh, man. Yeah. So, Scott, you're coming into the season of Princess Tours, yada, yada, yada. What is the amount of travelers that come in with a tour versus those that are, you know, on their own? Have you tracked that?
We have, yeah. The previous stat, which is a bit outdated. We think it still holds true. Is about 41% of the visitors who are here in the summertime or midnight sun season, as we call it, are here on a cross Gulf Alaska cruise land tour. So it's a significant portion of our summer visitation. And what's exciting about it, so two things I always like to mention. One is because people say, well, they come here, they're only staying, you know, 1 or 2 days in Fairbanks on their tour. Because Fairbanks is the first stop, if they're doing a land tour first, then cruise, a lot of these visitors are coming in 2 days, 3 days earlier to spend some more time in the community. They don't stand out as much as if they're getting off a motor coach. So we see a lot of spillover on either end because of that. The second thing is we see some of the visitors, they come here, they're introduced to Fairbanks on a cruise. They say, I want to come back and experience on my own, either in the summertime or because they learn about what we have to offer in the wintertime, which the planetarium will help with. They say, okay, I'm going to come back here in February or March. So there's a lot of side benefits the cruise industry brings.
I've heard that a lot. It opens up their eyes to not only Fairbanks, but Alaska.
Yeah, I always say cruising is the your Alaska starter kit.
Yeah.
That's great.
Allie, we got about 3 minutes left. How do you want to end it?
Well, I just want to thank you for the opportunity to talk about the planetarium and the museum. You know, these are both incredible resources for our community. We have things for people of all ages. We've got early explorers from ages 0 to 5, and we've got, you know, workshops and talks and for people of all ages. So we really want to be a community partner at the museum and the planetarium. We want to work with the community and inspire and educate and partner and collaborate and be a very welcoming, engaging place for the community. I'm happy to be a part of it.
You work at a fantastic location. I am so jealous.
I feel very grateful. Very grateful. Yeah.
Scott, how do you want to end it, sir?
I would say as we're talking about all these great things for visitors to enjoy, the planetarium, the museum, the Morris Thompson Center, the fountain at Antique Auto Museum downtown, we're not just talking about these things for the enjoyment of visitors, but for the people who live, work, and play in Fairbanks year-round. You know, we have great quality of life for residents because of what the visitor industry brings. So when you hear these things being talked about, no one out there should think, oh, that's just for visitors. This is for you too. So we always encourage people, our local residents of Golden Heart of Alaska, get out there and explore Fairbanks.
Yeah. Also, don't know if they've changed the name or what they're doing, but Pioneer Park is a great location to go out there. If it's Alaska land, it's a Pioneer Park. I don't care. I grew up with A67, so I don't like any of the names. You know, go back to my original name, A67. What the heck? But that's a great location, too, for things to do in Fairbanks.
That's my understanding. About 1:30 a.m. this morning on a vote, on a vote of 7-2, the Assembly approved changing the name back to Alaska.
1:30 a.m.
Yeah.
That's a long meeting.
Oh, man.
They go a little later than those council meetings go.
Oh, I mean, that's just an ouch. You know, when I was on the city council and mayor, I always coined the term, no good government happens after 10 p.m. because everyone's tired and gets testy and it's just not going to be good. But if they went till 1:30 a.m., well, good for them because there was a lot of public outreach there and people wanted to give their opinion on it. And they probably sat there and listened to it all. And you know, that's one of the prices of being an elected official is, you know, you're gonna have to sit there and but what the heck. But University of Alaska, that's fantastic. What you guys are doing up there is just wonderful. And when was the last time we lost the Governor's Cup?
I think it's been
15 years. Yes.
Well, now, why would I bring that up?
We don't know what it means to lose the Governor's Cup.
Yeah.
That's right.
Actually, I look at it this way. There's a generation of Anchorage that doesn't know what it's like to win the Governor's Cup.
That's right.
Yeah. And they never will.
Fairbanks, that is our show for today. You have a great weekend. I will see you on Monday. And I have Matt Halala running for governor. And then on Tuesday, I have Shelley Hughes running for governor, trying to get all these gubernatorial candidates out of the way before June 1 deadline. And I will see you on Monday.